Our reading for Thursday, May 7th, is going to be from Acts chapter 15, verse 1. Acts 15, verse 1. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So, being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us, and he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After this I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols, and from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood. For from ancient generations Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues." Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders, with the whole church, to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter: "The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from among us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood, and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these, you will do well. Farewell." So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. And after they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So Jerusalem has basically come across their second major controversy, at least as it is presented to us in Luke's account in Acts. And understand that there were those that had gone from Jerusalem down to Antioch, and that they were causing some problems among the Gentiles in the church at Antioch. They were going down there to try to bind things from the law of Moses on them, despite the fact that we were we are and they were under a new covenant through Jesus Christ. So it says that Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them. So let's put this in context. Paul and Barnabas have been involved in Antioch for quite a long time. They were there for at least a year. They went on their missionary journey, being sent out by them. They returned and gave their report, and then they stayed there doing teaching and preaching. And so when these came down from Jerusalem and began teaching this, that they had to be circumcised according to the custom of Moses, then Paul and Barnabas have this dissension and debate with them. Paul is an apostle. Paul has the authority to say, you're wrong. He's inspired. However, that's not how he handles it. And I think that is by the Lord's wisdom. Now, I don't know exactly how this dissension and debate happened. I don't know how amicable it was. I don't know what sort of spirit went on between, you know, Paul and Barnabas and these other individuals, whether it was handled well and wasn't harming the church. However, even if it was being handled well, the fact that this dissension was happening was of harm to the church at Antioch. It upset the brothers, especially the Gentile brothers, to be told that after all this time, no one has told them this before, but all of a sudden you're going to have these people come in and say, you've got to follow these things from the law of Moses. You have to go and be circumcised. So Paul and Barnabas decide they're going back to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders to discuss this situation. Now, I believe that the reason they made that choice is because these individuals came from the church at Jerusalem. It could be that they were claiming some sort of authority being sent out by them, and they needed to verify whether that was true or not. We don't have that recorded for us. But the church sees this as a good course of action, and they send some others with them. And along the way, they describe the conversion of the Gentiles. That brings great joy to many brethren. And when they come to Jerusalem, they're welcomed. I mean, they are brethren. Paul and Barnabas have been here before. Remember that after Paul was converted, they had some question about whether he was a true disciple, but Barnabas spoke up for him, and so they did accept him. So Jerusalem is well aware of who these individuals are and their faithful status in the Lord's church. And so they're welcomed, and they gave an account of different things that have gone. But again, there are those that are a party of the Pharisees that said it is necessary to circumcise and to order them to keep the law of Moses. So the apostles as well as the elders of the church in Jerusalem were gathered together to consider that matter. I think it's also the Lord's wisdom here that though the apostles could have decided this among themselves, they included the elders of the church at Jerusalem. As elders, they would have been responsible for the flock that was among them, so they needed to be included in this discussion. So there's some debate here. Peter stands up and he recounts the issue with bringing in the Gentiles. He says, by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. He's saying God knew their heart and knew that they were in faith, ready to be a part of the church. And so God gave his approval so that the Jews would not restrict them from being able to obey the gospel. He says he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Verse 10, why are you putting God to the test? God has already approved of them. God didn't lay any extra burden on them at the point in which they became saved. They were obedient to the gospel. Why would you add an extra burden now? So why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? He's not just talking about circumcision. He's talking about keeping that old law of Moses, going back to those ordinances and commandments that they were not able to keep. I would ask you, if you're wondering about that, to read the book of Hebrews as well. The book of Hebrews spends a lot of time at length dealing with Jews that wanted to go back to the law of Moses, which was inferior. So verse 11, we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. The assembly falls silent. They listen to Barnabas and Paul. They relate the signs and wonders that have been done among the Gentiles. James gets up. They could have settled this by this point, but James gets up and he quotes Scripture. It's not just enough to listen to those in authority. Let's go back to Scripture and realize that God prophesied of this, and this is the fulfillment of it. And so he gives that Scripture there. So he says, therefore, verse 19, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but we should write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, sexual immorality, from what has been strangled, from blood, those things that could lead them astray, those things that could pull them back into a previous life under paganism, or things that could pull them away from God. So they're not adding anything extra to them, but they are giving them guidance is what they're doing. And so then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders, and with the whole church. So the apostles and the elders have met. They've made some decisions. They've come to a consensus. And now they turn around and share that consensus with the church. And it seems good to the church as well. In essence, they are announcing their decision to choose men from among them, send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. Because these original ones that went down to Antioch came from the Jerusalem church, there needed to be a choosing of men that everybody would say, yes, they are faithful, yes, they are from us. So they choose Barsabbas and Silas, who are well-respected and well-known. And so they then compose this letter that has these same things in it. And it includes verse 24, since we have heard that some persons have gone out from among us and troubled you, and we gave them no instructions. In other words, they didn't have authority. They're not going to, they did not have authority from the apostles, nor did they have authority from the elders to go down and say, hey, Jerusalem is approving of these things. They did that independently is basically what they're saying. And so in the letter they state, hey, we're going to send these guys down here. They will tell you the same things by word of mouth. And it says, we're not going to lay on you any greater burden than these requirements. And then they give them these guidelines to help them avoid being pulled back into any former life or into sin at all. So then when they were sent off, they go down to Antioch. They deliver the letter. They read it. The congregation rejoices because it's an encouraging letter. You know, there has been this dissension, there has been this problem that has upset them and made them feel less than confident even about their salvation. And so this letter encourages them because they shouldn't be less than confident about their salvation. They needed to be fully confident in what they had through Jesus Christ. And so Judas and Silas encouraged and strengthened them with many words, more than just what this letter is. And they were sent off in peace. That means that everything went well. Everything happened according to the will of the Lord. And they sent them off as brethren. So this would have been a joyful occasion. But Paul and Barnabas remained behind. All right, so tomorrow we'll pick up in verse 36 and continue our reading. Thank you for joining me in this reading today, and ask that you continue to be in prayer that God may be with us all. Again, we are going to plan to meet for a service on this coming Lord's Day. If you have any questions about how that's going to be done, please reach out to one of the elders or the deacons. Thank you.